what's the name of it? What's the name of it? Like, let everyone know that you're listening to this being recorded.
Man, all right, here we go. This is it. This is this call is being recorded. What is this? Number two with yours truly, Jared Haley and Jared Yates Sexton. And we have a special guest, don't we?
Yes, this is Christopher Wolford. I am the web editor for Bowl.
Oh, you are such a boring, boring voice.
I like how you already lost track of how many podcasts we've done.
Is this number two?
But yes, this is the AWP recap episode, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have to say about that? How are you guys feeling, man?
We're feeling terrible.
Yeah, sick mostly.
Yeah, I think Chris and I both like contracted the bubonic plague or superbug in Boston.
I felt like nauseous when I got home. I like didn't know where I was, and it was like this mental nausea too. Like I was just wandering around my house.
Yeah. Like room to room?
Yeah, and I was like thinking of all these conversations. It was like there were like recollections like from some fever dream.
Like you had gone through a traumatic experience?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that sums up AWP, really.
I think so. But hey, but first of all, we need to describe what it even is, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who don't know what these letters stand for. So, Jared, why don't you start?
Yeah, they stand for the Associated Writing Programs, which is basically a fancy term for all of the writers, academics, and aspiring writers and academics in the country converging in one city.
Right, in one big-ass room. Like three big-ass rooms, right? That's the book fair.
It's massive.
And it's like a horrendous clusterfuck, isn't it?
I think that's actually the tagline of AWP. A horrendous clusterfuck. That's great.
The yearly clusterfuck. But yeah, so it's just a bunch of writers, a bunch of teachers, and readers, I would ideally think, right? Chris, what's your input on it?
That's pretty much a pretty good summary. It's, you know, all the self-promotion in the world all gathered in one place. Going into every single booth that they possibly can to tell you about their shit.
Hey, that's not nice, man. That's only some of them. There's good people there, right?
Yeah, there's plenty of wonderful people there.
Yeah.
We might also put out there for those who haven't been to AWP that we had our own table set up that we manned every single day.
Right.
We had our own offsite event. Lots to talk about.
Yeah. We'll go through the chronology soon. But yeah, really, it's like this... this literary bazaar, right? With a bunch of people trying to sell their stuff. And I think we kind of hit on the right way to do it, man, is bark them over.
Yeah.
Like it's some kind of carnival sideshow kind of thing.
I know it might be a little too early to bring this up, but speaking of the Barker concept, I just want to point out that at one point, our editor-in-chief, Jared Haley, screamed out at a passerby, "Look at the beard on that guy."
And who did that guy end up turning out to be?
That guy ended up being the guy who's going to run the Bull Library. That was a lucky call.
And he looked terrified when he yelled at him. It was fantastic. He did.
Yeah, because we didn't even have our sign up yet. That was Bryce Emily. Welcome to the team, Bryce.
Now he knows what he's getting himself into, I guess.
Bryce was also there. He witnessed what we'll get to, and I guess in a little bit, but my darkest point of the conference on Sunday morning. You must think, oh man, what kind of like guys have I gotten myself into? But we'll get there. Where should we start, though? How about we start, Jared? You can tell a story about the first thing I said to you.
Okay.
When you got up to the table.
So I get into the AWP conference. I had stayed in the worst Holiday Inn Express ever. I get in a taxi. The taxi driver tries to recruit me into a cult. I pull up to the convention center. I walk inside. I go and find the bull table. Jared Haley, who I have not seen in an extended amount of time, a good friend of mine, the first thing he says to me is, "Chris gave $20 to some woman. I don't think she's coming back."
That's right. And I mean, it's like, I thought, like, all right, we went. I sent you to go get change, Chris. Yeah. And and I thought, oh, I saw this woman, and she said she'll come back with singles. And I was like, okay, where's the money? And you're like, I gave it to her.
She was just so trustworthy.
Well, I mean, honestly, you could have come back with some magic beans, man. It's a fairy tale waiting to happen. But and it was, actually, because she did come back.
She did come back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got lucky there.
I just like the idea of some grifter going and telling their friends and being like, this Hoosier bumpkin just gave me $20. Let's go get some lunch.
Not only that, it was our first $20.
We were in the red within the first 10 minutes of AWP.
It's true. It's so true.
We might want to point out that the woman did come back with change, which was a huge, exciting moment.
Yeah, that was great, man. What else happened on Thursday?
It's all kind of a blur now, isn't it?
I know. It seems like it was like ages ago, and it seemed like it lasted like 2 weeks. Yeah. But like, me and you had some panels, Jared, right?
Yeah, I had a panel. I read you had a panel, I think.
I had a panel. I was kind of like astounded by the audacity of some people who attend AWP. And I'm not going to name any names here. I told myself the only name that I'm going to name is Giorgio Armani. And that story.
That's for day two.
And that story is coming up. But I mean, maybe we can touch on like just the type of person that can attend AWP. I mean, you get some really good people, but then you can just get the biggest of pretentious assholes, right?
Well, there's a wonderful opportunity for these people to sort of feel like big shots and celebrities for like a couple of days, when in fact, mm-hmm. like the literary world is such a small sort of pond anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. Like, you can be a big shot for like 3 days. And then go back to sitting in front of your computer every morning, right?
That's exactly.
Which I mean, sure, that's what it feels like. Felt like that for me, too.
When you're wandering room for room in your house.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very liberating feeling to be around, like, so many people that you don't know. And I feel like that helps us out just as much, because it's way easier just to talk to random people walking by and not worry about consequences, I guess.
That is true. It was fun, man. We met some great people.
That's great time.
We met a lot of people that that like have submitted or are submitting or that were set to publish, and that was a really special thing. I just have to say, to end Friday on a or Thursday was it on a positive note? Okay, well, I guess now we can talk about the weather, man. That was horrendous.
It was pretty bad.
Especially starting, was it Friday morning?
Yeah.
Which brings me to Giorgio. Okay. Well, are you going to help me out, guys? Are you going to, like, lead me into this conversation, or am I just going to start telling it?
Well, I just realized that we completely went over the old man.
Yeah, we need to go back.
All right, talk about old man.
Because we have the old man, we need to talk about Greek spaghetti, and we need to talk about a quick debate about whether or not it's classy to carry a beer around in public.
Oh, that I think the beer is where to go. I don't think anyone needs to know about our spaghetti, and we'll come back to
I think everybody needs to know about our spaghetti.
It was a plate of spaghetti, Jared. What about the beer?
That's true. Okay, so first of all, we met an old man, a sage-like old man in a basement record store that talked about poetry and gave us advice on where to eat. He was right on all things.
Yeah.
So we go to this place. We start talking about the fact that they sell beer at AWP that you can walk around on. Our esteemed leader, Jared Haley, mentions that he thinks it's tacky to walk around with a beer. Discuss.
I guess what? Should I defend myself here?
Absolutely, you should, because you're in the wrong.
Okay. The act, like, all right, say you're at Disney World, right? And
I love that's where this is going.
It's kind of like the same kind of deal where it's this big crowded space and you are probably one of like maybe 5, 10, 15 people who are having a beer. I mean, here's the deal. If you have a beer, sit down and enjoy yourself, you know? That's all I have to say. I think it's like not giving the beer its proper respect to be like rushing around to some panel, you know? I mean, it's like, that's a break, dude.
Giving the beer its proper respect. I love that it's not about how you present yourself in public. It's what you're doing for this liquid.
Chris, what do you think? Beer tiebreaker.
I mean, I was just thinking about riding around on the It's a Small World ride with just a beer in my hand. Just nodding my head to people as they pass by. I'm like, I'm really giving this some respect, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay, you should talk, speaking of respect, let's talk about lack of respect and your run-in with, do we want to get specific? Do you just want to say a designer? What would you
Oh, it's
you
already
like
out
do?
There, man. It's Georgia. Said it, yeah. This is the start. True, this is really the start of like the, my surreal experience in Boston when the streets on Friday morning were so bad, there was hardly any cabs out because everyone was taking them. And in the lobby of our hotel are four very stylish guys. I mean, they were like looking good. And I say that objectively because their hair was all coiffed, right? And they were just like dressed in all black. And naturally I said, are you guys going to the conference?
Might I say that I didn't see anyone dressed like that at the conference.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there's style at the conference. And maybe we'll have to even like make this a two-part episode because that was a big conversation we had.
Yeah,
but
we ran through all the outfits.
But these guys, in retrospect, they were way above anything that was there. And it was kind of a stupid question when I thought about it. But apparently, these guys were a marketing team for Giorgio Armani. I learned this as I was awkwardly talking with them. And then, especially after I jumped in their cab, which I had the blessing of the doorman. The doorman was like, you should really get in there because you're only 5 minutes away. But let's see. So it was a van cab, which I had to like oust someone from their seat and cram them in the back. Not physically, but I was like, hey, can I get in here? And they crammed three of them in the back just for me. And anyway, I told them, I was like, we're going to have this event tonight. I gave them a flyer and they said, or I said, so you think you might come out? And they're like, yeah, we'll come and get some of your free beer. which this is where the cab ride started to turn. Not after I crammed them all in the back, but when they started being like true assholes, you know?
Well, I think it probably started for them when you made them cram into the back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think this is a difference of perception here.
Well, okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, but still, you're just a human being, right? And it's seriously...
you're just a human being.
It was seriously like 2 minutes, like 2 minutes long. But anyway, they asked me what designers I follow. And I told them about that Dockers contest we were in, right? About the 100
grand.
By
the way, a rule of thumb. When someone asks you what designers you like, Dockers is not the answer.
Hey, man. Well, that's the best I could do because I don't really follow designers. You follow designers?
Well, I mean, I don't follow designers at all. My answer would be like St. John's Bay or Gap Incorporated. Yeah, yeah. Like, that would probably be my answer.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of an angle I took, right? I told him about the 100 grand because that's kind of a big deal, you know?
Which you might want to tell the audience.
And they knew the campaign, by the way, the Wear the Pants campaign. I mean, if you haven't been following us for that long, like, we almost got 100 grand for Dockers. And they were actually very nice to us after we didn't, because we came in second place. We were like a hair away. But it was kind of a crushing blow. And so these guys were like, you were crushed because you didn't get second place in a contest put on by Dockers. And I was like, dude, it's 100 grand, you know, that's a lot to a startup, you know, magazine. And they were like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I'd love it if someone gave me 100 grand right now. James could go through 100 grand in a weekend, not even thinking about it.
It's a good weekend, by
the
way.
Yeah, for real. And at that point, I was just like, all right, these guys, these are not my kind of guys. And I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll let you guys pay for the cab then. At this point, we're pulling up to the place. I get out. I've decided these guys are assholes. I say, as I'm leaving, I'm like, hey, tell Giorgio I said hi. And they go, you can get the fuck out now.
By the way, I also love that this is over a 2-minute span.
Yeah, this is...
this whole thing takes place over 2 minutes.
It was a very awkward 2 minutes, I have to say. But anyway, that was the start of Tuesday. Anything else, or what is it, Friday?
Thursday. No, Friday.
Oh, anything else happened Friday there?
I don't know. The walk there was miserable. Yeah.
Yeah, the walk was miserable. It was terrible.
Yeah. That was the day of, seriously, the 6-foot puddles off of every curb.
Yes, I remember them well.
They were like 6 feet long, and they were seriously probably like 6 inches deep, each one of them.
It was like a portal to a different world. Mm. They were so large.
Without drainage?
I don't think I've ever been more pissed off walking anywhere.
Yeah, like at some point you just couldn't go. You'd hit a dead end because you couldn't jump across these things, and you have to go back and find some other way. You have to walk 2 blocks around the puddle.
Well, which, by the way, is a perfect segue into the ball and buck situation, where we have an offsite happy hour at Ball and Buck, this wonderful high-end boutique manly wear store. It's probably 85, 86 degrees in there. Is that fair?
I mean, that was great, though. I loved warm that.
And cozy. We go outside, and here comes Chris, looking like a drowned rat, looking as grumpy and angry as any human I've ever seen before, trouncing down the road.
Yeah, and that's the thing I should say, too, that not only was it so warm and so inviting in there, like the store was just like so appealing, but we were all drinking, breaking, and entering bourbon. which was graciously donated to us, I should say, by St. George's Distillery.
Good bourbon, too.
It was
good.
Oh, my God, that was the good bourbon. And let's see, what was I going to say about them? We're going to have another podcast with them. Probably the next one that we do after this one will be with Dave Smith. Okay. So stay tuned.
I hope it turns into just a belligerent drunken fest.
Oh, it already happened, man. This guy cut up his Christmas tree to make gin.
Sounds like a man with priorities.
The event, man. We got to talk about that. That went off. Let's throw out some names that we have to thank. Because as I forgot to thank everyone when I stood up on that couch to deliver a little address. I stood up there and I just went blank. And I was like, man, it's so warm in here. It's so warm in my heart.
It was like Braveheart, only drunker.
Yeah. But, okay, so first of all, Winston was helping me out put the thing together. He's great. Kyle was the man in the store. Shouts out to him. Mark, the owner, showed up after being delayed by that weather. That was awesome to see. Our bartender, Corey. I never even got to say goodbye to that guy.
That dude slunk out, but made amazing drinks.
Yeah, what was that drink? It was like a chai, bourbon. What was it?
It had cider in it, too.
Cider,
yeah,
that's
it was
right.
Those three.
And can't forget Adam Cushman from Red 14 Films helped us put that on. And last but not least, Dwayne the Barber.
Oh, that guy was the real deal.
Yeah, man. Hot towel treatments. We didn't even really get to talk about what you guys got there. Like, I was wondering if he would go into the beards that you guys have with the massaging.
I got a beard massage.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just had the jaw massage, and that was great. But it's the towel, dude. The towel that really does it.
It was one of the best experiences of my life, and I say that without hyperbole. Like, it was unbelievable.
Really? That's awesome.
And then afterwards, we were just standing around, like, in the actual, like, store, just, like, feeling each other's beards. It's like, this is the softest beard I've ever felt.
Before and after, it's like a Brillo pad before, and then it's like a piece of sponge cake.
And I also want to point out the other great thing about it was that neither Chris or I really comb our hair. Like, we definitely have like a tussled sort of a coif going for it.
Yeah,
and he totally properly combed our hair, and it looked very stately. Very.
You know, that is true. Like, I do the finger comb, mm-hmm. But I've never really thought about getting a crisp part and actually like keeping it that way.
I think we're in the dawn of the end of combs.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're I think they're almost gone. And that's sacrilege, and I understand that. But I'm all right with it.
But wasn't it cool to have that comb in your hair? That crisp part?
It was.
No, you just mussed it up right
after. I did.
There's no use for combs at AWP.
Yeah. Well, all right. What else was what else before we head out onto the street after that? I mean, here's the thing. We should really talk about how, like, for me, that event was exactly what I wanted, like Bull's effect to be, you know?
Well, I want to put this out there. Like, most off-site events at AWP can get kind of tedious. They can get overcrowded. Sometimes you have a reading that goes on forever because you have, like, so many readers. Like, this was, like, a really cool kind of stand around and talk. It was great.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, people were talking to people. Like, it wasn't just sitting around listening to somebody. I mean, it was like people were getting along, you know? And I just remember looking at here and being like, this is exactly what, like, the effect that I want to have. Having fiction bring these sort of people together, you know? We got the good people of AWP who came out there, you know what I mean?
About five dozen. Five dozen good people.
Yeah, at any given time, though, because they were filtering through, too. Don't sell us short, Jared.
I'm just saying all. It's good time.
But, yeah, I mean, that was great. It just felt really good. And it was so good, right, that when the night was over, probably went like an hour over the schedule, but when it was over, man, I was riding so high that stepping out on that sidewalk, I'll let someone else take it from here.
Okay, I want to do this from a couple of perspectives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there were three of them.
Number one, I'm going to report what happened. Number two, I want to hear the point of views. Number one, we come out of Ball and Buck. We're feeling really good. And there's a restaurant probably two doors down from Ball and Buck. And nationally known, renowned author Michael Martone comes out of the restaurant with, I believe, a friend of mine was with him. And he also had, I believe, his son and his wife. And Jared Haley, editor-in-chief of Bull Magazine, accosted Michael Martone.
That's right. It was an accost, not an assault, as you like to say.
I'm going to use the quote. The quote was, Michael Martone, my name is Jared Haley. I am from Bull Magazine. And then you answered.
You're not doing the voice that you love to do.
It actually came across more as, hey, Michael Martone, I'm Jared Haley from Bull Magazine.
And then let's go into what happened right after that.
Oh,
Jared this is who geeks out instantly. He's like, I don't know what to do. Just runs up to him, too, holds out his hand. He's like, hey, Mark Martone, I'm Jared H. Sexton. I'm from Indiana, too.
I'm a Hoosier, too.
A fellow Hoosier.
And Michael Martone, to his credit, says, that's a wonderful thing to be. But it takes another turn. I might also, let's flash back to the night before at the Greek restaurant. We had noticed that Michael Martone was at the Greek restaurant. We didn't bug him during dinner. And Jared Haley, after accosting that and after the weird Hoosier back and forth, Jared Haley goes, we saw you eating last night. How was that Greek food?
Oh, it's a point of fact. He was there. It was good food.
It doesn't make it less creepy.
All right. Well, am I here? Can I defend myself?
You have the floor.
Because I've been thinking about this, and I knew this would come up. But in my defense, like, I don't think there's anything else I could have done at that moment.
You spoken to him calmly.
Well, I mean, think about it, right? Like, we were I see two things that I could have done. What I did, number one, and then number two, the standard, you know, typical, like, there's someone I know who's kind of, you know, famous in this scene. You could do your whole avert your eyes, kind of walk by, and the whole AWP awkwardness, right? But coming out from that event, like, as jacked up as we were, like, I don't even see that as an option. And if I had done that, you know, if we had instantly had to revert back to this AWP awkwardness, then the entire event, I feel like, would have been negated. You know what I mean?
This was destined. This had to happen. I love
it. It was. There, I saw no other choice because, man, it's just like that's what the whole thing was about that we were just at is like no pretension, you know, like everyone's having a good time and no one's like going to have this like hierarchy, you know, where you have to be of a certain way. I don't know. That's all I got to say.
Now,
about
was that going
that.
Through
that's
your mind before you did this, or is this all in retrospect? Because this sounds
no. That was kind of just like what I was feeling in my heart, man. That was that warmth in my heart coming out.
Luckily, the that domino effect ended with Jared, where I sort of hung back when it happened, along with our good friend and Bullshot editor Pete Witt, who.
That's
him and
right.
I,
Pete
him and
there.
I looked at each other and just like, we're not getting involved in this. Like,
by the way, I want to throw this out there. Pete Witt, salt of the earth.
Yeah, man. I'm really glad that guy is stepping up because he is a good one. Well, that was Friday night. What happened on Friday? Oh, no, this is my dark story. to which Bryce Emley of the Beard fame can attest to. Friday morning, you guys slept in. For some reason, I was up at the crack at 6 a.m. I was feeling good, probably because I had like 4 or 5 aspirins before I went to bed that night. But let's see. All right, it was just brutal in the book fair. Like, it was nothing but kind of a bunch of jerks coming by. No one was really buying anything. And so Bryce was there, and I was showing him a little bit about what we're going to be doing with the Bull Library. And so this guy comes up, this young guy with his girlfriend. He comes up, and he's like, hey, so do you like stories about weightlifting? And I was like, yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty cool. That's kind of in our wheelhouse, of course. And he's like, what about midgets weightlifting? And first of all, number one, I don't care for the term, to be honest, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's not the preferred nomenclature. Second of all, I was
not
like,
preferred? No, that's rich.
Yeah, you know where that's from. Second of all, I was like, all right, so are you just fucking with me now or what? And he keeps on going with it. He's like, no, I mean, like, stories about midgets, you know, and they're lifting heavy things, they're lifting weights. And finally, I had just, like, I wanted to, like, take this opportunity that was given to me to really just say, fuck you, and get the fuck out of here. Because, I mean, I didn't really, like doing it at that point because I was kind of shaky afterwards, but that really just stunned them. And I was like, seriously, put that down and leave this place. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't feel good about it then, but I felt like it had to be done because it happened, something like that happened last year, and I didn't take the initiative to do that, and I wasn't going to let this opportunity pass me by to let some prick who's obviously, like, joking around with what we do go un-fuck-you'd.
I want to point out that you, just listening to this podcast summary, it sounds like you had quite the confrontational conference.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of true. That's why we're going to name this thing Acostin in Boston, right?
At least you got to do like what everybody, I feel like, that runs a booth at AWP wants to do at some point during the conference. Like the there's always one person that comes up and is just like, I just want to tell you to fuck off right now.
Like, yeah, and that's the thing. I don't feel that way towards everyone that goes up. No. It's just when people are like obviously like having fun with the essence of what we do and what I work at so hard, you know? It's like, man, I don't have to deal with this. Go the fuck away.
Well, and that's in comparison to a lot of really good conversation that you have with people. Like, you meet a lot of good people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't talk about like the hundreds of people that you meet that are awesome. You know, those don't make that good of stories. Anyway, Friday, you guys were kicking ass.
I think you're on Saturday now, aren't you? Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is
it's
Saturday.
All one day.
Right? Saturday after that, I was just kind of like, I was spent, truly. But you guys, you were closing it down.
Yeah, we were making deals all day and selling a ton.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, Friday or Saturday was the day that we got a deal with Ball and Buck. Yes. Now we're in their store. Right. So if you missed us in Boston, check out that place, man. You'll be lucky. You'll be happy you did.
Which, by the way, we work really well with Ball and Buck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think they're kind of right up our alley. Yeah.
They're like the physical manifestation of our spirit, you know, in store and clothing form. But how about that one girl that was the last customer? Oh,
she was wonderful.
You guys, she was twisting our arm, man.
That's what you needed, though, at the end of a conference like that. Someone just like crazy fun to come up and be like, hey, let's barter for a bit.
She had what? Yep. Purple hair. Yep. She is from Tennessee. And she had a guy with her that was kind of like, I just met.
She lived all over the place.
Right, yeah. But that was fun, man. She was wrangling some deals.
She got some good deals. Let's not lie about it.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, I should, by the way, say we might mention here that we do have Bull t-shirts. They're coming on the site. She got one of those.
Got an issue for $9, maybe? I think that was like the total.
Yeah, like everything. It was just
probably
like,
all of our wallets.
She was really... She probably lifted our wallets. But man, like the way she was like interacting, man, it was like, man, you deserve whatever.
It was kind of awe-inspiring.
Yeah, she was relentless.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. Still folksy, though. Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to get those shirts up on the site. I don't know if you guys saw, it's kind of broken, our sidebar, but I'm working on it. We are going to do a whole, revamp of the site anyway, so I think this might just be the occasion to get it all done. But
well, can we, real fast about the website, can we just point out without revealing anything that it looks amazing?
It does look amazing.
Oh, yeah, the new one, yeah.
You weren't too sure at first when you showed it to us, but after you got some input, like, you were sold.
That's right, Jared, you were skeptical about the blue.
Look,
that's
who's
what I'll say about
things.
It.
The blue. Also, we should probably throw a couple shout-outs. Number one, Midwestern Gothic was fantastic.
Yeah, awesome, guys.
That's right, they were our neighbors. How weird was it that I had talked about sharing a table with them. I had approached them with it, but then it turns out like too many people of ours are going to come, but we ended up right next to each other.
Good guys. Wow. And I read their latest issue on the flight home and it was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. What else then?
Jared, do you want to talk about your plane ride home?
Okay. I just want to put this out real fast. I am terrified of flying. Anyone who knows me or has intimate knowledge of me understands that. I bit the bullet. I took a flight there. The flight there wasn't terrible. The flight back, in the beginning of it, something happens where the pilot actually says to a flight attendant, I've never seen this before. then all of a sudden we start like going down a little bit. And a flight attendant goes on and goes, hey, we have a serious mechanical issue. And we're going to divert to Washington, D.C. Just kind of.
See, now I'm surprised. I heard this before, and like, why did they not divert? Like, I would be concerned if they were not diverting.
We start going down a little bit around D.C. We're over a bunch of water. Go figure. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, oh God, we're dumping fuel. This is where it happens. And then the flight attendant gets back on the phone, and she goes, well, you know, we decided to go ahead and go to Jacksonville. So we'll get you some drinks here in a minute, and let's hope for the best.
Oh my God.
It was,
she didn't say let's hope for the best.
Let's hope for the best.
There's no
she's like, if you're religious, now's the time to begin that conversation. Like, that's what it sounded like to me anyway. Our Bull editorial staff member, Sarah Domet, who I work with, here at Georgia Southern, she was flying back, and I think was getting a little bit nervous too. So I wasn't the only one who was just totally petrified. Okay.
Yeah, because she was she's the one who convinced you to even take a plane.
That's right. Well, it was an easy conversation because I was going to take a 24-hour train ride, which rustically sounded wonderful, in it logistically sounded bad. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it, man.
Well, thank you. I also want to point out that when the flight attendant mentioned that we were going to go ahead and go to Jacksonville, like, there was a sort of, like, spattering of applause, but nobody was really sure if this was something to applaud or defeat.
Right. We're just going to try out a belly landing in Jacksonville. We don't need a landing gear. All right. Well, hey, I think I have to go because I got a doctor's appointment. We're gonna hear the heartbeat of my new baby again. But I don't know if we have any picks to do this week, right? I mean, there's Midwestern Gothic. I think that might be a pick, right?
And I read the newest issue of New South. It's fantastic. They're good people too.
And Ball and Buck. We should have. We'll probably have something of theirs up on the site soon. Yep. And St. George's Spirits.
Oh. Okay.
Like, that'll be probably like next week, I'm thinking. I'm gonna do both of these editing things at the same time. All right. Well, we still haven't figured out a way to sound off of these. But I imagine that soon the music will start coming up. And, well, you guys, thanks for coming. You guys did fucking great.
Thank you. Well, thanks, Jared. Bye.